Meeting Tom Cruise is a production of the Dan Patrick Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.
Amazing. Like I said, I do this with professional stuntmen. I do this with the best skydivers in the world. I have never had anybody hit their marks in free fall as good and as efficiently as Tom Cruise did. He was amazing.
Tom Cruise is the greatest movie star of all time. He's the first actor to have six consecutive $100 million grossing films. He's shrouded in mystery, and yet to many is one of the nicest and hardest working people. We love Tom Cruise. We are inspired by Tom Cruise. And while we work in Hollywood, we've never actually met Tom Cruise. So we're going to talk to some people who have. We'll hear some great stories, and maybe, just maybe, one of them one day will lead us to the man himself so that we can have stories of our own. Our own stories of meeting Tom Cruise. Boys, are you on the edge of your tomorrow? Because Colonel Klaus von Miechenberg is reporting for duty, and we're ready to plant a bomb in the lion's den and blow this episode up. Welcome back, all you Cruise conspirators. Now, you may not be shot down in a firing line for listening to this podcast, but you are now part of a movement to get Joel and I to someday meet Tom Cruise. So welcome to the revolution, baby. Oh, my God. I'm all over the place on this intro. Had a little live, die, repeat, two parts Valkyrie, and a dash of Tommy Lee Jones and Under Siege. That's a spicy recipe.
We're already running late, Jeff. We're already running late.
Fair point. Well, then let's get the train moving out of the station. And speaking of trains, do you guys know that Tom Cruise has been on a lot of trains in his films? That's it. That's all I got to say. Just wanted to say that. Okay. Well,
yeah,
if I'm the conductor of this train, I know we're going to get to it. Well, if I'm the conductor of this train, that's obviously going to derail at some point because we're going Denzel fast. Then with me is my co-conductor and brakeman, Joel Johnstone. Joel, I need you to add some coal to this podcast and stoke the fire. Go.
Today, we're going to get it right, folks. Today. What, this is episode 15? 15? We've been honing
already got
and fine-tuning and... Nope, what episode is this?
Nope, we already messed up. It is. We've just already got it wrong.
It's over. But today, today's the one.
Okay. All right, I like that. Well, also with us on this perilous adventure is none other than the ticket collector himself. The guy who would kick an eight-year-old off the train in the middle of winter if she lost her ticket. He's our producer, Alec Lev. Hey, Alec. Serious question. What's the craziest thing you've ever seen on a New York City train? Because I know you've been on a lot of trains in your life. Right away, I know you've seen some crazy stuff. Joel, Alec, hold on. Let's just move this right into the I was thinking about Tom Cruise this week. Because I was realizing he's been on a lot of trains, which we'll touch on. So right now, before we touch on Tom Cruise and trains, what's the craziest shit you've ever seen on a New York City train, besides just the average guy who clips his toenails on a train, which we, for some reason, have all seen multiple times. Did you ever experience anything crazy?
I don't know if I can say it on this.
Say it and then we can edit it if we think it's bad.
I saw a guy giving himself a prostate exam.
Yes, you can say that. And what are you talking about? You just saw someone put a thumb up his butt?
He was.
Was he in full whites?
Did he have the gloves?
In fairness, I was slightly inebriated,
so it might not have happened.
But I know it actually happened because I have backup. There was another very close friend of mine was with me. We woke up the next morning. We're like, did we see that? And I was like, yeah, it definitely happened.
It was you, Joel.
He was at the other end of the car, and this gentleman, I think, believed he was alone because the second we started laughing and snuck out to the next car, he like pulled his pants back up. It was like, oh, is somebody seeing that?
Joel, can you please tell us what he was doing? Because this is very crazy.
I just told you he had his finger up his ass.
But was he pleasuring himself or was he actually worried something was up there?
You know, Jeff, I didn't stop to ask himself that. Sir, are you enjoying that? Is there for that strictly medical procedure? Sir, I'm talking to you. Sir, Sir, why are you using two fingers now?
Wow, that is, I don't know if Alec and I are going to beat that.
No, I quit. I quit, right? I've quit the show.
Yo, you're done.
I quit the show exactly 17 seconds ago. So, see you guys later.
I quit the subway after that. I became an avid bike rider after that.
Somebody was excited at one point that seat was open. You know, at some point in the day, that seat was open and someone felt excitement to sit in that seat.
Right. Ooh, an open seat. Ooh, let me just dust this off with my hand.
All right, this week I was thinking about Tom Cruise.
Go, Alec.
No, I'm just trying to get this podcast back on track because it has derailed.
Wait a minute.
He got him up with the train theme.
Nice train theme, but you don't have a story. You're just being that. You're being that ticket collector again. That's being
not
a dick.
After that. That's horrible.
Alec, you grew up in New York City in the 80s. You never saw one guy get shivved on the train.
I did, but that's not why the train is horrible. The train is horrible because there you are at 7:42 in the morning, and you're in 11th grade, and you have to go to school, and you have to squeeze.
Yeah.
Onto the train, and you are immobile amongst the rabble, and it's just a vile. It's why
and you're little. You're little. You're a kid, so you're not as tall as the rest. So your face is just right up to someone's lower back.
Even as an adult, I'm not as tall as the rest, and it's just disgusting. It's vile. I guess it saves, you know, environment. Can we get on? Did we start?
No,
we start?
We're not. I'm going to tell you my train story. I got in a span of 2 months one time in New York. I got hit three different times all around the train. I got hit right when I came out of the train one time. Oh, God, it was like 2 a.m. I came out of the train and a car came around the corner on 8th and 14th, I think. And he just plowed right into me and I went right up to the hood of his car, Joel. I was underneath the elevated
Wait
train.
Wait a
on
second.
My,
That's yep. not a story about there, the train.
And it didn't happen on the train.
It happened out of the train.
Hey, I'm going to tell you a great story about my bedroom. I was in my bedroom, and then I left my bedroom when I was walking down the street, and a plane landed on me. What a crazy bedroom story.
Fine. I just wanted to talk about the time I got hit three times.
Can you tell us about other stuff that happened within a window of time after you left the train?
I did, man. In New York City, in a span of, I think it was a month or two, I got hit three different ways in New York City. I got hit while driving, I got hit on my bicycle, and I got hit while walking.
None of those
happened in the train. None of those
happened on the train.
Worst subway train stories ever.
Tom Cruise, we know, of course, his most famous train was in MI1. That's got to be the best train sequence of all time. Charlie puts Ray back on the train at the end of Rain Man. Joseph hops off of a train to fulfill his dream of owning land in the Oklahoma Territory.
Mission Impossible train. That's with the helicopter flying in after the train?
Yes, with Jean Renault driving.
Stupidest.
What?
It was 1996, Alec. No one had ever seen anything like that. Bring yourself back to the moment you saw
amazing.
That sequence.
No, it was stupid.
No, it wasn't.
And also, I just want to say, because there have been a lot of like fights on top of trains and everything like that, and that was the first time that I remembered. Obviously, they weren't actually on top of the tunnel doing that, but that was the first time I remember like a Hollywood film using fans. To recreate, the wind that would actually be propelling against somebody's face on top
exactly.
of a train. Every other one is like, you know, two guys and their hair is perfectly coiffed. And it's like, hey, get over here. Let me slap you around here a little bit. And like that one was like, oh, they made some effort here to make me believe they're on top of a train.
Jeff's going to love this. The greatest scene involving trains is Buster Keaton's The General. 1927.
Oh, here we go. That train was going 4 miles per hour and they sped
it
up.
It was not. And Buster Keaton himself was actually driving the train, getting on top of an actual moving train. So Tom Cruise that.
Dude, well, I watched a thing on one of those Instagram cinema pages and they showed all the crazy shit that those guys used to do back in the day for stunts. You're right, dude. That's
was
nuts.
No those guys. It was Buster Keaton.
Okay, here we go.
And the other guys that tried it died.
Yeah.
That's why we don't know about them.
Yeah.
What else do I got? Oh, here's a fun one. Minority Report. He's on a train. And that's when we get that nice little Cameron Crowe cameo. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Do you even know that sequence I'm talking about?
But are we just listing times that Tom Cruise was on a train?
It is interesting. It is interesting.
So I want you to pretend that this podcast is about Tom Cruise and people obsessed with Tom Cruise.
Oh, I'm the only one who is pretending it's about Tom Cruise two digits deep.
Night and day, they take a train.
They do take a train in Night and Day. Just ignore. Can someone, Doug, can you mute Alec?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Ooh! What if we have a mute button?
No one can mute Alec.
All right, well, let's wrap this up by saying, yeah, Tom Cruise has been on a lot of trains. Alec, question of the week. Pause. Don't say anything.
Whoa.
Because this, I'm embarrassed. I just mentioned a bunch of Tom Cruise train sequences, and I literally forgot the most famous Tom Cruise train sequence. Do you guys, can you think of it right now?
Risky Business.
Exactly. Alec Lev. Good job.
Oh.
How could we forget the Risky Business train sex scene? There's rumors that they actually had sex.
In my mind, you had started with that. Shit.
I know. How did I forget that? My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. All right. All right. So
one for Alec. That's one for Alec.
That is one for Alec.
I got that one right.
Question of the week is, in which movie did Tom Cruise make you cry the hardest?
Okay.
Only one? Which movie?
I mean, because Joel, when I ask for one, we get a list of five with three alternates each
That's true.
Top 10, this is going to be a Nicholas Nickleby length episode. Go ahead.
Oh, I've got a lot. Well, first, I want to start with this. I've got a hot take. Hot take. I don't think I've really cried that hard in any Tom Cruise movies. Like,
what?
I think the one thing Tom Cruise hasn't done for me is get me super misty.
He hasn't met you either.
But I could imagine that you had like a jar of tears that you would keep the goose death scene when you were a teenager.
Oh, I don't remember how I assume I did cry when Goose the first time, but I don't remember anymore because I've seen it too many times now. So I'm going to, you start, Joel. What can you name? Well, what do you got? What do you got on your list?
I never had a brother. That's one of the things I have three older sisters. It's just a relationship I've never had that I always wanted. And there's that monologue at the end when he's talking to the, it's the part played by Barry Levinson, in Rain Man. What is he? The social service guy. And he's like, he gives that monologue and he's like, he's my brother. And like that every time, I mean, I'm getting choked up just talking about it right now. Like the first time I saw it, just buckets came out of my eyes.
My first one on here is when Charlie Babbitt puts his head on his. So remember he says, okay, let's stop when they're trying to do the right and wrong. And the two people leave the office. So it's just him and his brother for a minute. And when he says,
I like having you for my big brother.
I'm totally getting misty thinking about it too.
Yes, they touch. Yes,
remember that?
Yes.
They just touch heads for that moment.
Yeah, that whole sequence just it still gets me every time I watch it. And then Magnolia. And it's not the minute he starts crying and the camera's not on him. It's just that whole, as soon as he walks in to, you know, that whole 15 minutes, and it's chopped up between other scenes, but yeah, he and Jason Robards get me going every time.
The tear, when he starts to cry, that doesn't make me cry because
it's the stuff leading up to that.
You were in a lot of pain. She was in a lot of pain. Right to the end, she's in a lot of pain. I know, because I was there, Earl. You didn't like illness, though, did you? I was there. She waited for your call.
That got me emotional, but not when he starts to cry. Alec, did you not? You don't agree with that one?
No, I think now that I'm thinking about it, I think you're right. It's at the beginning of that scene. Anything about any time it's people holding it back.
Exactly.
Right. And which is obviously both an acting trick. Right. But also just good writing, good directing. But you know that bawling isn't really going to get the audience to bawl. It's when you're...
Exactly. When Forrest Gump doesn't want to cry, but when he says, is he like me, about his son.
That's mine.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
You
have stolen, in all movies, in all of the history of time, that was the scene I was going to mention for a scene that made me cry. Thank you, Jeff. Great. It's great.
I'm sorry.
Thanks, Jeff.
I don't. Jeez. How am I supposed to know?
That's impressive. Jesus.
Well, that movie, that moment got everybody when he says, is he like me? And he backs up and he touches his chest. I can't even deal with it. Touch his chest. Here's a scene that gets me. This is probably the one that I got the most misty in all of Tom Cruise's movie is when Samantha, I know this is so me. Okay. When Samantha Morton, by the way, and I don't want to call her underrated, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't even know who she is. She's one of the best actresses on the planet.
When watch Samantha her Morton, in Sweet and Lowdown, it is one of the greatest performances you will ever
agree.
See. She doesn't
say
a
she was
fucking
nominated
word.
For that. Oh, yep. Great. My goodness. Samantha Morton in Minority Report, when she's the precog, when she is up in the room, I will start to cry if I describe this scene too much. When she can feel his energy, because remember, she can see the future. So in that one monologue, when she just describes him growing up as a little boy, because remember, the whole thing is the little boy is gone. He's dead. And so Cruise and his wife are standing there and she just describes his trajectory of his life. That would have been, oh, man.
He's in high school. He likes to run like his father. He runs the 2 mile and the long relay. He's 23. He's at a university. He makes love to a pretty girl named Claire. He asks her to be his wife. He calls here and tells Laura, who cries. He still runs across the university and in the stadium where John watches. Oh God, he's running so fast, just like his daddy.
Well, yeah. Can't deal. Yeah. Can't deal.
Yeah.
But yeah. I went through the list hard. Alec, go.
I am an open target for Aaron Sorkin. He plays the instrument the theme to West Wing gets me every time.
I 100%
I am all in for all of the notes that he plays that are sometimes have a we could see it coming feel, but I'm there. So in A Few Good Men, military precision and honoring of ranks and stuff like that. And I don't know why it always gets me. And when he salutes Tom Cruise and says, there's an officer on deck.
Ten hut! There's an officer on deck.
Oh yeah, that'll do.
Boom!
It.
Yeah,
you're right. It just gets me all.
Yeah,
I think there's a couple of times in A Few Good Men. It's a Sorkin thing more than a Cruise thing, but it does it for me.
Yep,
it does.
Yep.
In this back half of the Beating Tom Cruise season one, we seem to be talking less and less about Tom Cruise.
But that's okay.
Is it okay?
Yeah. All right. Come on, I'm so excited to talk about movies.
What?
The ultimate, because this is what I love to do. This
Wait,
is why
come
we're
on,
doing this
what?
Podcast.
We don't even know what we're doing.
Tell me the movies that made you cry the most.
Oh, Forrest Gump. All right, can we be done with this? Can we bring on the guest?
Joel?
No. This is a big deal. Movies non-Tom Cruise, most recently, Jojo Rabbit, at least 5 times. Mm. I wept like a small child. Mm. That movie got to me in so many ways. I fucking loved that movie.
You follow that butterfly right up to her shoes. Boom. You're a mess. Yeah. Oh, you're a mess. Dude. I don't want to give it away.
And
but.
Even the end when they start dancing and he starts snapping like this. Weeping.
Yep.
And then the obvious one that I forgot about, it was the first movie that made me cry. And I didn't realize because of the first movie that made my son cry. But I watched it with him in the last year for the first time. E.T.
Oh, I forget about that. That's right.
My son was asking question after question after question after question throughout the entire. It was one of the first movies he's seen that's live action. He was because up until a year ago he was only interested in cartoon stuff and we watched it and he was very interested and then when he's getting on the spaceship and Elliot starts crying, my son just goes, "Why is he crying?" And then I was like, "Well, he's leaving, son." And then just. just couldn't take it. And then I couldn't take it. I mean, we were disgusting. We were disgusting.
For me, it was Fletch Lives. No, that's not right. For me, it was
the second
Field of Dreams. Come on. This is easy.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Field of Dreams has the staying power of making you cry at exactly the same times.
Yeah.
But now it's worse. I see it coming. and yeah. I cry. I pre-cry. I do a pre-cry.
Like pre-cog.
It's pre-crime.
You're pre-crime. You pre-cog.
Pre-crime. I pre-cry before, do you want to have a catch?
Yep. Yeah. You know what's coming. Yeah. I got it. Well, my list is a little different, boys, because those two are very obvious. So buckle
wait,
up, because here
we
go.
Guess. Oh. Cliffhanger. Rocket 3.
Cobra.
I'm sorry. You bite your tongue. When Rocky 3, when Mick dies, that is a heartbreaker right there, my friend. You know, Mick dies
95.
And he's lost the fight. I know. He's literally as old as Gandalf at that point, so I'm pretty sure he's good to go. When I was a kid, my mom and I had just moved to Florida, and I was already pretty emotional because I was, you know, 7-year-old kid that had been taken away from his homeland of Connecticut. Anyway, my mom and I watched this movie called Day of the Dolphin. It's a Mike Nichols film made in 1973 starring George C. Scott. And if you don't know this movie, it's about the government training dolphins to like set bombs on boats or something. It's a very weird movie.
You are talking about one of the titans of filmmaking making a movie about dolphins?
Yep. Yep.
I don't believe you.
And at the end of the movie, to save the dolphin or something, I haven't seen this movie since I was a little kid. He tells he's with George C. Scott's on the beach with a woman and the I'm sorry. They have trained the dolphins to speak and the dolphin can say Ba loves Ba, and so the dolphin.
There's no way. There's no way Mike Nichols made that movie. That's not the guy that did The Graduate and The Birdcage. No. He didn't make that movie.
Want to have a catch?
Ba loves Ba. So you see this dolphin calling after its owner, and they just walk away to save the dolphin's life or something like that. So the dolphin can go. My mother and I, if she was here right now, she would tell we. Bald sideways tears. We were an absolute mess. Yeah, look it up. Day of the Dolphin, Georgie Scott, and directed by the great Mike Nichols.
I mean, you come to meeting Tom Cruise thinking, you know, maybe I haven't seen all the Tom Cruise movies, but I feel like this might be something fun. I know he's a big star. And now I have to also know the plot of the Mike Nichols Dolphin movie to give a shit about what's going on
here. Speaking of dolphins, did you guys see that documentary, The Cove, when they murder all the dolphins at the end? Christy and I were truly traumatized.
No, because I knew it's a movie about murdering dolphins, and I don't want to see that, Jeff.
So bring it back to Tom Cruise. So what we're saying is he doesn't make you cry.
Tommy didn't. I love his energy, his excitement. I mean, I guess I have gotten emotional in some of his films, but yeah, that's the one thing missing is that he doesn't give me that. He doesn't bring me in like Denzel does. Denzel brings you right in so many of his films. And I just don't get as misty in his movies. But you can argue against that, boys.
Well, it's just funny because if you met him, you'd just burst into tears.
That is true.
Yeah. Yeah.
As usual, this segment is going to die a slow death because Alec wants it to be done. So I think that's it, right? Okay.
And now, commercials.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a surprise guest this week, and by surprise, I mean it's a surprise for Jeff and Joel. Now, to many, he might not be a household name, but I could promise you this. Every Tom Cruise fan knows his work. They know that he has helped to give us one of the two or three greatest Tom Cruise action moments in the Cruise canon. Has he met Tom Cruise? Well, yes, he has. He might have spent more time with Tom Cruise than almost any of our guests.
What?
But most of that time, and certainly not the most important part of that time, was never spent with their feet anywhere near touching the ground. I want to introduce you now to a man who has made over 23,000 jumps out of airplanes.
Are you the cameraman?
With over 100 of those pointing his camera at the face of Ethan Hunt. That's right. Today, we are going to hear Tom Cruise stories from 20,000 feet. It's Craig O'Brien, aerial cameraman from Mission Impossible. Fallout Craig, welcome to the show.
Holy shit!
Oh, my freaking God!
Holy shit!
Thanks for having me,
You're that guy?
I'm that guy.
We've talked about you!
Come on, now.
Craig!
Holy shit! Oh my God!
Now you all see why I had to make this a surprise. Jeff and Joel are actors, but they're not good enough actors to have just done that had I told them who was coming on the show.
Nobody could act that. Holy shit.
Ooh, I'm so excited!
Let's let Craig tell his story. Now, Craig, while Jeff and Joel...
Oh my God.
While Jeff and Joel get their shit together, I'm going to start us off. At this point in the show, we usually ask our guests to give us their life story until the moment they met Tom Cruise, but they have 60 seconds to do it. Now, those, however, are actors, and their stories are like, I was born, I wanted to be an actor, and I acted, and then I met Tom Cruise. You are a superhero, basically. So I think with Jeff's permission, we're going to give him more than 60 seconds. Please tell us about your life, how you got into doing what you're doing, and some of the highlights until the moment. We'll get to Tom Cruise, but just until you met Tom Cruise. Tell us about your life.
Okay, I'll tell you. I got into skydiving because my dad was a skydiver way back in the early days. And he was also into photography. So he both inspired me to be both a photographer and a skydiver. Skydiving was something I was just going to do as a hobby. And photography was going to be my profession. But as soon as I got into skydiving, I knew immediately that that was going to be my niche for photography. And I've been doing that for almost 30 years now. And have a blast doing it. But yes, it wasn't long before I started skydiving. Coming into skydiving with a photography background already kind of slingshotted me quite quickly into the realm of doing production work and skydiving. And I was, you know, out here in California around the right people and snuck in there pretty quickly and been lucky enough to do some pretty high profile movies.
I know you did some Iron. Tell us about the Iron Man stuff.
Yeah, I did both Iron Man 1.
What?
Iron Man 3. Kingsman was another big movie that I worked on, the first Kingsman. Bucket List. I shot the Bucket List. I was in front of the camera on Charlie's Angels. I was the bad guy in Charlie's Angels on the very first one. And my wife was the double for Lucy Liu. My wife used to also be a professional skydiver. I don't know if you've ever seen Sky Surfing, but she was a three-time world champion sky surfer, and we competed together for 5 years doing that. And about the time she decided to hang up her board and quit skydiving, that's when I really went full throttle into production work.
So, brass tacks, you live an above-average interesting life.
I have a good time day to day. We'll say that. I do. I'm quite a conservative guy, believe it or not. I'm not really like a dangerous type person, but I do enjoy jumping out of airplanes and creating images that way. It's a kick in the pants.
What kind of comment is that, Craig? Yeah. That's like saying, you know, for the most part, I just like to relax besides my trips to the moon. Like
on the way to Ralph's, he's yelling at people going 35 and a 25. Slow down. Dangerous.
I am that guy.
So wait a minute, are you more of the are you more of an adrenaline junkie, or is it that we hear, or are you just missing that thing in your brain that's that death just doesn't bother you? Like, what, where are you on that spectrum?
Well, I think maybe closer to the second one. I don't think death bothers me too much. I'm not really an adrenaline junkie, but I do enjoy what I do. I don't know, maybe you guys should come out and give skydiving a try. I mean, it's not as scary as you think it is.
Yeah, I've never done it. Have any of us ever done it before?
I've never done it.
No skydivers, huh?
I will take you up on that. I'm serious. It's on my list.
Afraid to fly commercial. Much less.
Jeff, let's do it.
I would pay anything to see Alec. Just
He'd be a little nervous. If he doesn't like to fly commercial, he'd be really scared if he saw the airplanes we jumped out of.
Oh, wow. My gosh. I can't even deal. Okay. Go, Alec, go.
Well, let's just cover it right now. The moment you jump out of an airplane, as none of us have done it, whether the first time or the 20,000th time, can you put into words that experience of your feet leaving the plane?
You know what I like most about skydiving is that moment when you do leave the airplane. It's obviously full commitment. You got to do something after that to save your life, or your life is going to end. But everything else goes away. It literally goes away. You have to focus specifically on that. All the problems of the world dissolve. You're just completely consumed in the activity you're doing at that moment, and it's quite exhilarating. And you know, that's where I get my kicks.
Wow! I just got cold. Like, I'm feeling, like, uncomfortable. I could grab a sweatshirt.
Okay. All right. This is just been okay. So, so you filmed the. We're gonna get to Tommy in a second, but you filmed the notorious Halo jump scene.
Yes, correct.
Just for clarification, how many feet above the ground did you start?
25,000 feet is where we started. That was a true Halo skydive from a C-17 military aircraft. Not a lot of people get the opportunity just to go out and play with military aircraft like that and do what we were doing, but it was a super good time. And yeah, 25,000 feet adds a little bit of, you know, technical things to skydiving. We have to breathe oxygen prior to even taking off, and we're on oxygen in free fall, which is a little added challenge, especially when I'm already, you know, wearing a helmet that's got a red Cine camera on top of it, you know, with about 20 pounds of gear, you know, and plus I got a mask on my face and oxygen bottle on my belly. It was a lot to handle.
Craig, can you explain to look at all three of us are so freaking excited.
Hang on. Was this the first time that you were filming the, because normally I'd imagine you're filming the stunt person doubling as this, that, or the other thing. Was this the first time you were filming at that altitude, the number one on the call sheet?
Absolutely. I've been lucky enough to do a number of movies, but I have never jumped with, you know, a star, not to mention an A-lister like Tom Cruise.
You're telling me that Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman and Bucket List didn't jump?
No, they did not jump. They're probably not supposed to tell you that, but no, they didn't jump.
I think we expected them not to.
For comparison's sake, when my sister-in-law Ronit went on one of those tourist go in an airplane and jump kind of things, how high do you think she went for comparison to the 25,000 feet that the Halo jump was? What's a standard?
She probably got halfway there. Yeah, standard exit's about 12,500 feet is normal skydiving altitude.
And how long are you actually free falling at those normal heights? Like, what's is it a minute? Is it?
Yeah, it's about 50 seconds to a minute. If you're falling for a minute from 12,500 feet, you're probably deploying a parachute around 2,500 feet, which is a little bit lower today's standards. In the last few years, they've kind of brought standards up and make people deploy their parachutes higher than we used to back in the old school days. But yeah, it's a 50 seconds to a minute of working time.
Craig, can you explain to the listeners and us why you need, I mean, I know you'd think this is a basic answer, but why exactly do you need oxygen at 25? What makes a Halo jump a Halo jump? And what's happening up there in the atmosphere as well as temperature?
Sure. Halo stands for high altitude, low opening. And the military use it primarily. They'll get an airplane way up there, 25,000 feet, that's hardly noticeable from the ground, probably at nighttime in a military situation. They'll jump out, fall silently through the sky, open low so that they spend very little time under their parachute, land in a designated area, and then off to their task they go, whatever that may be. That's what Halo's designed for. And that's kind of was the theme of the story as well, right? They were up at 25,000 feet. Of course, Ethan Hunt opened his parachute just, you know, feet above the Palladium in France and hung on the spire there.
I can't deal. I'm really not doing well.
I know. Okay, so tell us about the moment you met Tom Cruise.
You know, Tom Cruise, I've been lucky enough to meet a few people, but Tom Cruise was really amazing. They flew me out to London, out to the studio to do an original interview. And they were already in the process of filming. So I'm on set, you know, all the stuff's going on all day long, and I'm just waiting for a moment. I mean, he doesn't like plan meetings and meet you in the office. This guy's busy 24/7, it seems like. And he just took a moment, you know, between shoots to come and talk to me. He actually spotted me without even me being introduced to him. He obviously does his homework because he spotted me, came walking straight up to me, introduced himself to me, which kind of blew me away, right? And of course, I introduced myself and he tells me, yeah, I know who you are, which was kind of silly to me. And just immediately got right into talking business because that's how he is. He is all business all the time.
Oh my God. Oh my God. So we hear from everything that we've read about this, there's how much you guys practiced, and then there's how much you actually shot, because this needed to be shot at a specific time of day. Am I right in saying that?
Correct.
So tell us about those two things. How much you guys, how many jumps you did, because that was in the hundreds, if I've heard correctly.
Correct.
And then the actual shoot days.
Yeah, we started out training in a vertical wind tunnel, which is a machine makes wind. You get in, it's basically, it's on the ground, but you're, you know, skydiving in it. We did numerous weeks of training with Tom in that tunnel when he would have his spare time, which was not very often, but he would fly in that. He did come to this job with like 40 some jumps under his belt from years ago. I think he did some skydiving when they were doing Days of Thunder years ago, when they're filming Days of Thunder in Florida. He got into some skydiving. But we had him in the tunnel for a few weeks, did a bunch of training. Then we left London, went to Abu Dhabi, where we did the actual skydiving. And we did like 4 straight weeks of just skydive training, where he was just doing some basic skydiving skills and trying to get better with some other skydiving instructors. Because at that time, every time me and Tom got together, it was just camera talk and film talk, and they'd have to keep us separated so they'd keep him focused on his skydiving skills. But as soon as we got into actual shooting, it was, you know, game on. We were just practicing the sequence. We would go up and do 5 jumps in the morning out of a Twin Otter airplane, which is pretty much a normal skydiving aircraft. We would do 5 of those, take a break for lunch. And then we'd have the C-17 in the afternoon. And then we'd do 3 exits, 3 jumps from the C-17. And this went on for about a week. And then we started shooting. But of course, once we started the official shoot, we had 1 take a day. And that was it. So we would practice that sequence. That whole skydiving sequence, we split it up into just 3 pieces. And they're 3 really big pieces. So we would practice that specific piece throughout the day, and then head on up to the sunset. We would get up there at sunset, take a minute or two to fly around to make sure the timing and the light was just perfect, and then we'd try and execute that piece. And yes, we had a lot of practice coming up to each piece, but we have to remember, every time we skydive, it's never going to be identically the same, right? It's going to be different every time.
Right.
And they had an exact idea of exactly what they wanted to see. And they were very particular on how my framing was, how everything was. They had it pre-vised out, so we had to follow that to a T. And the first piece, we had some technical difficulties at first. But once, soon as we got the technical difficulties ironed out with the camera equipment, as far as like hitting his spots and doing the action, he was flawless, amazing. Like I said, I do this with professional stuntmen. I do this with the best skydivers in the world. I have never had anybody hit their marks in free fall as good and as efficiently as Tom Cruise did. He was amazing. Truly amazing. Matter of
Craig,
fact,
listen to what you just said.
Jeez.
I mean, listen to the words that just came out of your mouth. Like, this is your life, man. That's bananas. Go ahead.
It's also exciting. So when you're saying it's 3 pieces, right? When you see the final cut film, I believe it is only 3 shots, right? Because
correct.
You didn't want to cut it all up. Because an audience, even a non-sophisticated audience, knows the more cuts, well, the more cheats that could happen.
Correct.
The less real it feels.
And so that first shot is Tom's there. Ethan Hunt is there. He's walking. He walks down the platform. I don't know the technical words. He walks down. He jumps out. That's all one shot. And you're going for however many seconds or a minute it is all in one before you're cutting to the next shot, because we don't want to have a lot of cuts in there so that we can really see that the action is really happening, right?
Correct. And that was the whole idea, was to just make sure the viewer knows without question that that's Tom Cruise doing that stunt. And he did right. that stunt, and he did it well. He did it well. It was great. It was from the in that scene when you see that shot of him looking off the ramp and the lightning goes off and then he turns and walks back in. It's a wonder from that point. And I had to film all that from my helmet cam with a camera on my head.
Yeah, that was my question. So you had to have a different eye line, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm lucky enough, lucky for him. I know he's not very tall, but I'm not very tall either. He's actually maybe an inch or two taller than me. I'm only like 5'6". Maybe that's why I got the job. But I was able to just, you know, squat down a little bit and just try to be as smooth as I can, walking, following in there and then doing the lap around him. But the hardest part was walking backwards 80 feet, not knowing where the edge of the ramp was, and then getting off the ramp without tumbling or losing the shot. That was the real trick.
That was hard, Craig?
That was incredibly hard.
That was hard. I had to film for 3 hours the other day, Craig. Three.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tom was hugely helpful in helping me with my timing on the exit. We were trying markers on the ground, markers in my peripheral, but what really came down and nothing was really consistent until Tom came up with the idea of, as I get close, he's just going to rush me and force me into having to jump at the proper time. And it worked perfectly.
Unfreaking believable.
So he was at one point, he's actually helping a guy with over 20,000 skydives achieve what we needed to do to get this shot done.
Oh my God. Here's a quick solution. I'm just going to sprint at you and knock you out of a plane. Is that the best?
Yeah. That makes sense.
That was the solution. When I start sprinting at you, it's time to go.
For those of us, Craig, you know, in comedy, Joel and I, you know, are working on comedies right now. We see the cameraman's got a focus guy that's over there. They got another guy that's, you know, helping move him around. Where I heard something about you never, like if he was more than 3 feet away from you, you were out of focus. Is that true? Was there a focus guy? Is there someone else jumping out there with you?
I had a custom device in my left hand that I was using to pull focus with. Once I was out the airplane.
Holy shit.
You were pulling focus at 25,000 feet?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was.
With a monitor? Could you see?
Nope. Doing it by feel. You know, it took some practice. But, you know, and of course, the DP wanted us to shoot at f2.8. So my depth of field when we were in close focus was inches, six inches. All right. So he had to hit his mark. I had to hit my mark and I had to focus that camera and, you know, try to keep it all in. So it really was quite amazing that we pulled it off as quickly as we did.
How do you hit your mark? What does that mean? You're flying. What does that mean? Jeff can't hit his mark when he's got 3 feet to walk from a chair to a desk.
I don't understand.
Yeah, our marks basically just are our position relative to each other.
Right.
We literally on the ground would stare at each other and figure out what that looks like and walk it on the ground. We call it in skydiving, it's called a dirt dive, where we're practicing on the ground, walking it out. And we would do that over and over and over and over and over again, multiple times, and then go practice the jump and do it again between every jump.
On the halo jumps, how fast are you, before you deploy the chute, how fast are you traveling?
Yeah, what is terminal? What's this? I remember there was that Charlie Sheen movie, Terminal Velocity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is there? Is there like a max speed, and then that's it? Right.
Well, there is, but that's based upon it's based upon your personal mass and the surface area you're exposing to the wind. If you're pointed straight down like a high diver. You know, you're going to be going well over 200 miles an hour. But a normal skydiver on our belly, like we see most of the time, that's normally like about 120-ish miles an hour.
Tom Cruise, ever? I mean, no fear, obviously, in this man.
The guy has no fear. No fear at whatsoever. I mean, I never saw it. I never seen him nervous. I never seen him. I mean, his concern is performance and performance alone. I never seen him scared, even to a point where I even told people, I said, you know, he should be scared a little bit, but he's not scared at all. And wanting to push it, wanting to, we did our first jump from 25,000 feet, landed, and the first words out of his mouth in the landing zones, we're going to 30,000 feet on the next jump. I said, you know what? You go without me because I'm not going to 30. We don't need to go to 30,000 feet. It's dangerous at 30,000 feet, you know?
Now, Craig, why? Why? Why is it dangerous?
At those altitudes, if we have an oxygen problem, it only takes about 15 or 20 seconds before you're going to pass out for lack of oxygen. And if you don't get help quick, you can definitely die from lack of oxygen at those altitudes. So, I mean, it's important that everything is done correctly and safely and in a manner that we can help each other if there is a problem. The higher we go, the less chance there is for us to help each other if needed, even inside the airplane.
Wow.
And of course, the airplane, because we're breathing oxygen, the airplane's not pressurized. So we're exposed to whatever the outside air pressure is as we're climbing to altitude.
Do you know how many halo jumps you did with Tom Cruise?
I know we counted Tom's jumps, and he did like somewhere between 100 and 115 total jumps throughout the 6 weeks of shooting in Abu Dhabi. And I probably did 80 some of those jumps with him. Some of those he would go up with just his skydiving instructors, especially early. And then I was still down prepping cameras and setting up camera stuff because they wanted to also have him focus on training and not filming. And of course, anytime I was in close proximity to him, everything we talked about was filming, not skydiving.
Craig, where's Henry Cavill in all of this? Is he doing this too?
Yeah, he didn't skydive, but he was on set with us. He was filming with us, and great guy to work with. Henry was super cool, you know, super easy.
Superman.
Didn't seem like the big star that he is as well. I mean, you know, but he seemed like the maintenance guy, you know, with the hangar hanging out with us. He was actually pretty cool. And Tom was as well, but of course, he's you know, got a little more attention than everyone else on set.
So why didn't he do the jumps? Did he have a stunt double like most normal people would?
He did. He really wanted to do the stunt. He really wanted to learn to skydive. He was super into what was going on and was quite disappointed that they wouldn't let him jump. And as you can understand, it's quite a huge liability to throw a guy like Tom Cruise out of the airplane for a production company. They weren't having number two guy go out as well. They weren't having it.
What? That sounds ridiculous. So if Tom Cruise dies, they're like, we still got
we
Henry.
We still finish the movie.
that doesn't even make sense. Or is it just so much money if they both went?
Okay. All right. I'm going to ask a purely selfish question now, Craig. If I wanted to get into skydiving, like how many jumps do I have to do as a pedestrian, as a virgin skydiver, before I don't have to be in, you know, one of those adult baby Bjorn things?
Tandem.
A tandem. You first jump. You can come out, sign up for a program they call AFF, Accelerated Free Fall. You'll do like a 6 to 7 hour ground course. They'll gear you up with your own jumpsuit, your own parachute, and two instructors will physically jump out with you, and that's your first skydive. No tandem if you don't want to.
And I don't have to be tethered to another human being.
Nope. And then when your parachute's pulled, you're on your own under the parachute. You do have a radio system on that someone on the ground with a walkie-talkie's helping you guide you to a safe landing and telling you where to turn and how to flare your parachute. But that's you. If you want to, Joel, come on out to Paris Valley Skydiving and we'll hook you right up.
I will see you there, Craig.
Joel, let's do it. Joel, that sounds pretty safe. I've always feared because, you know, we all have young children and I'm like, I don't know if that would be the smartest. But you're saying like if something went wrong with my chute, I've got not one but two instructors next to me that could technically save my life is what you're saying, Craig.
Their job is to make sure your parachute gets deployed. Once that parachute comes off your back, if there's a problem with that parachute, that training that you just went through is you're going to have the information you need to save your life at that point. But yeah, if you like just are cross-eyed and not doing anything, these guys are going to deploy a parachute for you. You guys ready?
Let's do it, Joel.
Jeff, I'm in. I'm in. I'm in. I'm serious.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Alec is a big question mark. I don't know what his... I don't know about his choices yet. I mean, the guy, you know.
Yeah, I don't even like living on the second floor, you know, so I'm not sure.
Craig, I mean, I think one of the most fascinating things, and this is an obvious thing. I mean, right now, talking to you, you seem like you're the vice principal of a middle school and it was very good at doing taxes. You seem like this very sweet, and you made the reference earlier that, you know, if someone goes faster than the speed limit, you're upset. How are you like this? Is it just simply
you're on the extreme end of Daredevil?
Your dad just raised you this way and that's that? This to you?
Yeah, I got a good balance of my mom and my dad. My dad was quite the wild man. He was a true pioneer in the industry of deep sea diving, a commercial diver, but of course he was his hobbies were skydiving and sailing and racing cars and motorcycles. So when I was a young kid, that's awesome. What I did, chasing my dad. And my mother was 100% 180 the other direction. She's scared of everything. She's a stay home mom. And, you know, she still asks me every day after 30 years, son, when are you going to stop that skydiving? You know, so that I'm a balance.
Oh, God, I love it. I love it.
I would have loved to have been in your household the first day your dad told your mom, I'm taking him up with me.
Yeah. We didn't tell her. We told her afterwards. That was an afterwards. Hey, check this out. We knew it wasn't going to be good if we said something before.
And am I correct that you were up there with James Corden and Tom Cruise as well?
Oh. You know,
what a great day that was. That was a fun day with those two. I mean, James Corden's a funny guy, and Tom Cruise matched him line for line all day long. It was a blast.
That was my favorite episode of Corden I've seen.
And James Corden was scared. He was very scared.
He was, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course, we took advantage of it and scared him even more as much as we could as we were going along. But it was a fun day.
I'm sorry. I just remember Tom in that, watching Tom jump out of that plane, the step he took off the plane was no different than taking the next step on a ground. It was just, yeah, okay, now I'm walking off a plane.
Yeah.
No notice that this was happening to him.
Yeah, no, Tom Cruise doesn't have any fear of that stuff. He just asks how to do it and gets the right people around him to teach him stuff, and he goes, pulls it off like a professional, seems like every time.
Craig, thank you so much for doing this. This is really quite amazing.
You're a national treasure, Craig.
Thank you, guys. It was great talking to you guys. I had a great time. And hope you guys come on out and do some skydiving with me, man. Just contact me and let me know. I'll arrange it all.
Count us in.
All right.
That would be amazing. That means the world. And we will absolutely do that because this is part of why we're doing this, man. We're trying to be, we want to meet Tom so badly, and we know we need to jump through some hoops. So in this case, we're literally going to do it.
All right, cool. Hey, we come out and do a skydive. I'll make a little clip. I'll send it off to him and see if we can get a response from him.
Oh, my. Jeff.
Now we really have motivation to do it, Jeff.
Are we going to jump out of a plane? Oh my God, I love this podcast so much. Honey, can I jump out of a plane?
You know, we've gotten, again, we have 167 fantastic reviews. I mean, they're not all fantastic reviews, but they are all reviews on Apple Podcasts. We really want to get it to 1,000 reviews. I mean, if you are listening to this podcast, there are thousands of people who do listen to this podcast.
Come on, people.
Let this be the episode. If you go and rate us, give us those 5 stars. It does make it much easier for people to find. Let's take the moment right now to go do that. We're also getting fantastic.
Hey, just like the guy on the train, give it 2 thumbs up.
Oh, for the love. So we also get amazing emails. We are creating a fantastic cruise community, a community.
Nice. Wing people.
Wingmen and women around the world. Check this one out. Hey, guys. My boyfriend Jack and I are big fans of the podcast and have been listening since the start. You've grown our fascination with Tom Cruise and inspired us to binge all the MI films recently. We talk about it all the time, but we never even dreamed of seeing him in real life, let alone meeting him, until now.
What?
We are currently on holiday in North Yorkshire for our anniversary and couldn't believe it when we discovered Tom was filming the new Mission Impossible down the road. We took a chance and headed down to set in a sleepy village. We were stunned after an hour of waiting when security came out and announced Mr. Cruise will be coming out and began to organize a meet and
Stop
greet.
Your face.
I'm telling you now, he's everything you promised he'd be on the podcast. And believe me when I say, fathoming that this has happened is still impossible for us. We told Tom we're really looking forward to his next film, and I said meeting him had made our anniversary very exciting. He looked us both in the eyes and wished us a happy anniversary. And then again, after that, this photo was taken.
Let me see.
And here is the photo I'm showing them with Tom and our
guest. Oh, come on! Oh,
6 feet away. And you want to know something that's really crazy? Is I saw that sweater. I've seen these pictures around the internet of him in that sweater, and I want to find it. Like, that's a fantastic
so
sweater.
My first note to the world is if you're a Meeting Tom Cruise fan, and you meet Tom Cruise.
Yes, Alec.
You must tell him about this podcast.
Yes.
I've been listening to this podcast about you. That's amazing. That's all you have to say, people. Two things we need from you. We need reviews, and we need you to tell Tom Cruise about us.
And so, very best wishes. It says, you know, thank you for making us love him even more. We can't believe after being so inspired by your podcast that we actually met Tom Cruise and he's everything we dreamed he'd be. Very best wishes, Jenny and Jack. A, do we believe them? B, how jealous are you of them?
Of course we believe him, Joel. What are you talking about?
That's the picture. I mean, that could be a picture of anybody.
These are nice people. We're just bummed that they didn't call out the Meeting Tom Cruise podcast. Him. Listen, we're a little selfish, and that's okay. You know, it's just we need more people to tell Cruise about us, the more we inception into Tom Cruise about Meeting Tom Cruise.
Yeah. What should they say to Tom Cruise about us?
Here's what you do. Oh, my God. Oh, Tom Cruise, it is so nice to meet you. You want to know what's crazy is that I've been listening to the Meeting Tom Cruise podcast all about you.
There it is.
And so it just got me even more excited to meet you now. And then he'll be like, oh, tell me about that.
Like if somebody was like, hey, Jeff Meacham wants to meet you. What do you want Tom to know about Jeff Meacham?
That I love him so much that I dream about him.
And with that, Meeting Tom Cruise is hosted by Jeff Meacham, Joel Johnstone, and me, Alec Lev. It's also produced by the same Alec Lev.
We can't cross over into the restraining order area before we meet him, because that will happen post.
Our executive producers are Doug Matica and Dan Patrick. Our engineer and mixer is Alex Reeves for Point of Blue Studios.
Well, give me five good things you want Tom to know about Jeff Meacham.
Okay, I want him to know that I'm an Aries.
Boom!
Editing by Alec Lev, with additional editing by Alex Reeves.
I want him to know that I've had hair transplant surgery and I'm not ashamed to talk about it.
Our music is by H. Scott Salinas and Matthew Atticus Berger. Artwork by Rebecca Montoya.
Number three.
I want him to know that from a distance, I look like I have brown eyes, but up close, they're kind of hazel.
I don't think he'll care about that. Number four.
Executive produced by Paul Anderson and Nick Pinella for Workhouse Media.
I want him to know that I love the Boston Red Sox with all my heart.
He's a New York Yankees fan. He grew up in Jersey for the most part.
Uh-oh.
Damn it. We are a production of Meeting So-and-So in association with Workhouse Media.
Number five. Here we go. I want him to know that, hey, I played volleyball in high school, and your most famous scene is a volleyball scene. So there we go. We got some.
I don't think that's his most famous scene or what he wants to be remembered for. But there you go. There you go. That's five right off of that. You know what? Just because we're generous, let's go with half a baker's dozen here. One more.
Find us online at Meeting Cruise on Instagram and Twitter. Check out our website and show notes at meetingtomcruise.com. And you can email us at contact@meetingtomcruise.com. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please give us a rating. 5 stars are much appreciated. And write a review. It really helps people to find the show, and we just might read it on the air. Meeting Tom Cruise was created by Jeff Meacham and Alec Lev.
I want Tom to know that one time I thought I was a vampire because I maybe in college smoked a little too much weed and I bit my friend's neck.
Folks,
If that's not enough to get Tom on our show, I don't know what is.
Meeting Tom Cruise is a production of the Dan Patrick Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
You're that guy?